Welcome to the Dream Team Academy podcast, where we help you make your business dreams come true.
Hello, hello, hello. We have got a brilliant guest tonight who is going to give you all the secrets of podcasting. Now, we've all heard it all before, and now you're going to go, oh God, podcasting. Yeah, been there, done that. No. It is still a tool of now and the future. And this gentleman I'm about to introduce to you has the secrets of marketing your podcast. He uses it himself to get incredible benefits for his other business, which I'll tell you all about. So let's, without any further ado, welcome Simon Lader. Thank you so much for coming to tell us all about podcasting tonight.
Hi, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me. So what do you want to know? I am an open book. What do you want to know?
Okay. Well, let's start out with, because we're about sort of living your dreams, and I know you're really enthusiastic about podcasting. Let's just start out with a little bit of backstory, if we would. About how did you get into podcasting? What was the journey?
Okay, that's a great question. And it's, I could talk about this for hours, and I'll try to give you the cliff notes of the cliff notes. Basically, so I've been, my day job, I'm a headhunter, okay? So in real terms, that basically means that, yeah, I marry up people into businesses and businesses up to people. But what it means in real practical terms is that I have a high ticket offer, okay? And so it's not the kind of thing where people are going to buy it online. It's not the kind of thing where it's, a $27 offer, okay? My clients give me a piece of work to do, and that piece of work will cost a few or maybe even several tens of thousands of dollars. Okay. So it's a classic high ticket offer. And with that comes the challenges of developing a pipeline of high quality leads. Okay. Much the same if you are a coach, a consultant, or even have a product, and that's a high ticket sale. So, everything was tickety-boo. We were doing really well. Lots and lots of repeat business. Everything was going really fabulous. And then somebody did something in a town called Wuhan, which none of us had heard of, and then COVID hit. And then, as you can probably imagine, yes, hand over the things. As you can probably imagine, when you are principally involved with hiring, which as a headhunter, I kind of am, hiring is the first thing to stop. And then the last thing to restart whenever there is an economic question mark floating in the air, okay? And of course, if you think back to kind of March, April 2020, none of us knew what the heck was gonna happen. And none of us knew how long it was gonna happen for, okay? So pretty much overnight, my entire pipeline, or the entire pipeline in my business went up in smoke, disappeared, okay? And the last thing, and I know from 2008, when there was the global downturn, I know from 2001, when it was the dot-com boom and bust, okay? Yes, this youthful face has been around for that long, okay? I know from then that when things are going like that, the last thing my clients wanted was for me to go, oh, hey, I've got this really good guy based in wherever that can do whatever. They didn't want that because they weren't hiring. They were in many ways and in many cases fearful of their own jobs. So for me to come along and start trying to say to them, hey, next time you're hiring, think about this. Or hey, when you're next doing an interview, think about that. The kind of content that traditionally I would be communicating or sharing with them between their hiring exercises, so I would stay top of mind, that was suddenly not only going to be irrelevant, but maybe even warding off clients. All right. Gosh.
Yeah.
So I had to think about what the flipping heck am I going to do? All right.
Yeah.
So the good thing was that we'd had such a good 2018 and 2019 that I had plenty in the kitty to kind of keep us afloat. So we weren't losing anything. Right.
Yeah.
And so I went and kind of put myself through social marketing and social media school, to all intents and purposes. We never really needed to do that, okay? Because I had a pretty good email list. I had a pretty good rep and have a pretty good name in the market that I focus in, which, if just for academic purposes. It's cybersecurity sales, pre-sales and marketing, which it's quite a niche area. It's an area I've been in for almost 25 years. Again, you wouldn't believe it with this pace. But I need to find a way to be more creative in communicating and remaining top of mind with my audience. Yeah. Okay. So I did the One Funnel Away challenge, which if anyone needs a crash course in funnel building, what's a funnel, or email list building, what's an email list, all those sorts of things. That's a phenomenal kind of entry point into that world. So I did that. And then I found myself exposed to a whole community of people that I'd never engaged with before. And so there were a number of people that reached out to me because just through engaging with people and talking, they found out, hey, there's this guy from Manchester that lives in Las Vegas. And, you know, he's, you know, a couple of other kind of quirky things that I was involved in. I'm interested in single malt whiskey, as you can probably see from over there.
Ooh, and nice.
Absolutely. And so yeah, a few kind of quirky things. So I started to get invited onto people's podcasts. And I remember the very first person asked me if I could be on the podcast. My response was, what's a podcast? I didn't even know.
Really?
I had no idea. All right. I am so old school. I still listen to the radio. Okay. Honestly, I had no idea. When I started like looking into it and like Google what's a podcast, I honestly thought that a podcast was something that the BBC or CNN or Newsweek did. I didn't realize that, you know, Joe Public could just start a podcast. I never heard of it. Okay. Yes, I am that naive. So I spent the next probably 3 months or so guessing on other people's podcasts just to, I don't know, just because it was fun, really.
Yeah.
But what kept happening time and time again, people were saying that you're so for this. You should be going on, you not only go on other people's podcasts, start your own. So I thought, okay, I'll start my own. Right? So I go on to, I'm not kidding, this is exactly what happened. I went on to Google, how do you start a podcast, right? And the thing that came up, article after article after article, and I'm a voracious reader, by the way, article after article after article was, talk about what you know. So I thought, what do I know about that's going to help the business? Well, I know about hiring. I know about recruitment and headhunting. I'll start a podcast about that. So in July 2020, when the whole world was like, you know, locked down and everything else, right? I thought, Simon will start his podcast. So I recorded about 5 or 6 episodes of a podcast, and it was awful. It was turgid. And so, and it was because while, yeah, I was talking about something I knew a lot about, it wasn't something I was passionate about, okay? And after about 5 or 6 episodes of me just talking about headhunting, I mean, bloody hell, how many times can you talk about how to write a resume, how to interview really well, what interview questions you should be asking, right? I mean, look, let me put it this way, right? I don't know about you, but I put on trousers every single day. I'm really good at putting on trousers. I can put both legs in and not fall over and everything. Right. However, I'm not sure I would want to create and deliver a podcast about putting on trousers. Okay.
Good point.
So after about 5 or 6, the thank God and all the lucky stars never made it to broadcast, never actually put it out there. Right. Another thing that came up was record a few before you put it out there. Fine. So I did. Thank God. I thought, okay, clearly podcasting isn't for me. So Simon is no longer going to do podcasting. He is hanging up his microphone and will never, ever do a podcast. And then the following day, someone reached out to me, hey, can you come on a podcast? Can you come on a podcast? And again, it kept coming up. Please, you know, you should start a podcast. You should start. And I thought, you know what? Maybe these people are right. Maybe I got it wrong. So what I did, and I think this is, you know, they say, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day. This is one of the times I was right, okay? I decided that I would ask the people to whom I was going to appear on their podcast if I could pick their brains for 5 or 10 minutes, either before or after the podcast recording. Mm-hmm. And pretty much everybody said, yeah, fine. And I did some research beforehand, again, being in recruiting, quite a lot of recruiting is research, did some research beforehand about the podcasts. And I could start, and I started to distill the, again, Scotch whiskey, those that were really good and had a following and were starting to really kind of go places, and those that weren't. I still appeared on everyone's podcasts. But what I wanted to see was, were there any patterns, were there any common denominators between those that were successful and those that weren't? Because this guy's never had an original thought in his life. What is it that I could shamelessly copy in techniques and processes from the people who were successful that I could then, if I was going to do my own podcast, that I could build it in from the DNA?
Yeah.
And number one was all the people that had really successful podcasts were incredibly passionate about their subject matter. That was number one. Okay. Number two, they had an intimate understanding of the needs of their audience. Okay. And number three, they knew very, very clearly how consistently, week after week, episode after episode, they were going to satisfy the needs of that audience. Okay.
Yep.
So I started to think, right, okay, well, how am I going to do that? Okay. So I went away, figured it all out. Okay. Which took some time and took quite a lot of audience testing. Yep. And by November, December of 2020, we'd recorded 5 or 6 episodes of this new podcast. And on, I think it was December the 28th, I think it was the Monday between Christmas and New Year of 2020, the very first episode of The Conference Room was born. Okay.
Ooh, I like it. I like the name.
Thank you. And it was great because we started to see some growth, not spectacular growth, but we started to see some growth. So then I thought, okay, fine. I've now got a podcast that I'm proud of. I've now got a podcast that I think is satisfying a need of an audience. And our audience retention figures were pretty good. The one thing that I haven't really cracked yet was audience growth. But, and this is something I talk to a lot of people about when they talk to us about how we can help them with their podcast. If you think about it, you're not going to grow your audience unless you have a very strong audience retention in place. Okay? Mm. Because... the classic problem that a lot of podcasters have is that they have the same kind of however many, 80, 100, 200, whatever number, people listening week after week, okay? And then they'll bring in a guest, they'll have a special episode about a particular topic or whatever, and they'll get a big bump that week, okay? They'll get a few people hanging on the following week, but then a week after that, everything goes back to how it was before, all right? And the reason for this is they haven't got a strong audience retention strategy, okay? Mm-hmm. It's akin to filling up your bathtub without putting the plug in, without putting the stopper in, okay? Right. Lots of new listeners might be coming in, but just as quickly as they're coming in, they're going out, okay? So we really nailed, I think, our audience retention. But what we hadn't really thought about too much at the outset was how we're going to attract new, new listeners. Okay. So then I did exactly what I'd done before. I then decided, right, Simon's going on the road. And so I went and found the podcast that I'd seen a big spike in their audience numbers. Okay. And managed to sustain that kind of growth. And I did the same thing. Hey, can I come on your podcast? These are all things I can talk about. And obviously targeting ones where I actually had something to advance their audience.
Yeah.
And again, can I have 5-10 minutes with you to talk about it? And again, what the common denominator all the way through was, these people that were seeing audience growth were going out and engaging off podcast. So they were going out finding where their audience was playing and engaging with them, adding value to them. Okay. So we then developed what we coined internally, and since I'm preaching this to all that listen, what we call the value first strategy, okay, which is our way of going out, engaging with your audience and giving value, and then that's the way to convert people to coming into your podcast. And then once they're in your podcast and they listen, because your audience retention strategy is so solid, using what we refer to as the audience covenant, which basically means make a covenant with your audience. I make a covenant with my audience. I'm sure you do with yours, Lisa, where you're saying, if you give me 20, 30, 40 minutes, whatever it is of your time, I will give you X, mm-hmm. whatever X is. You don't necessarily say it, but it's very implied by the content and what you're delivering. Okay. Ours is very simple on the conference room. We basically say, give us half an hour of your time, and in return, you will get a minimum of 3 tips or techniques that will help you grow your business. Okay. Yeah. You'll get an inspirational backstory. You'll get some really cool chat. You'll get some good banter, all good, but primarily what you're listening for are a minimum of 3 tips that will help you grow your business. And I tell the guests beforehand that that's what they have to deliver.
Yeah.
And they do. All right.
Yeah.
So that's why week after week after week, people come because they know what they're going to get. They know how we're going to serve them, and we serve them. Okay. So if you think about it, audience growth plus, or should I say audience attraction plus audience retention equals audience growth. If you don't have both, you're either going to get stagnant or you're going to get this kind of sine curve that just averages out of stagnation anyway. Okay.
Well, I'm just curious. So what exactly does the conference room do? I love the name. So you said you left the recruiting, is it still involved with recruiting?
Oh yeah. Well, okay. Let me explain. So the conference room is a podcast where week after week, I am lucky enough to interview experts in business growth. Okay. Now they could be a chief executive officer. They could be a VP of strategy, that's giving kind of overarching big picture concept about how to grow a business, big picture. Okay. Or it can be somebody who focuses on a particular niche. So for example, I've had people coming on and talking about email marketing. I had one guy even niching even further down, email deliverability. Okay. Yeah. If your email ain't going into the inbox, if it's going to junk, your emails aren't going to see, you're going to struggle to grow.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Right. We'll have people talking about finance, sales, management, HR, operations, strategy, you name it. Okay. But they're all coming and talking about something super practical and then making sure that they leave the podcast with a minimum of 3 actionable tips. Okay.
Brilliant. Simple strategy, simple deliverability, easy to understand. And I take it your audience for business growth, many of which would be potential clients for in your pipeline for recruiting and placement in headhunting.
That's right. And it's interesting because we then just kind of continuing the narrative a little bit, we then decided, right, okay, how the heck are we going to monetize this thing? All right. And this is the thing I talk to a lot of would-be podcasters about a lot, because it's amazing how many people are passionate about their message. You find that quite a lot with people who have, for example, a religious podcast or an issue-based podcast. Okay. And that's great. And having that passion and that energy for a particular subject is fantastic. So much so, many of them will turn around and go, I don't even want to monetize. Now, the thing is, I always caution them against that. Why? Because having that enthusiasm and passion at the very, very beginning is great. But I guarantee you, if you're really working hard to grow a podcast, then number one, it does take time. And number two, it can be a bit of a ball ache. Okay. Yeah. And if you don't feel that your time is being recompensed, then it can become a demotivator. Okay. It won't surprise you to know that over 99% of podcasts fail. Okay. More than 99% of podcasts out in the world. Okay. Do fewer than, I think, 25 episodes. Okay. There are millions of dead podcasts out there. Hi, I'm John, and I'm going to podcast all about chewing gum. Okay. I'm really passionate about chewing gum. 3 episodes in, oh, bollocks to this. All right. That happens time after time after time. Hey, I was one of them. Thank God I'm not a statistic because I didn't even air it. All right. But it happens time after time. And it's predominantly because people don't feel that there is that there's no kind of give back to them for the effort that's going in. There's no proportionality or reciprocity from the podcast. back to them. It is hard work.
It is hard work. Yeah, I relaunched my podcast, but I ran podcasts before and it was successful, but I concur with everything you said. And then I took a break because I was like, this is hard work. It was fun, but it was such hard work and I didn't monetize it. Oh my God. So everyone listening, this is gold. You are listening to gold. Put my hand up, been there, done it, made all the same mistakes, 100%, as Simon is saying. So listen carefully.
So I was thinking, right, okay, stage one, get the podcast built. Done that. Stage two, start to get it to grow by attracting and retaining an audience. Doing that. Stage three, monetize. Right. How the flipping heck are we going to do that? Now, we'd done a little bit of the thinking in advance. So we weren't really starting from scratch. However, I decided, as I had before, Simon's going back on the road. So I looked at the podcasts that are out there that seem to have a strong monetization strategy. And I did the same as I'd done before. Okay. You'll notice, by the way, at no point, and this is probably a bit like a turkey saying, hey, vote for Christmas. At no point had I gone to any podcasting guru or expert because I really felt that the best gurus and experts are the ones that are actually doing it, okay? Unfortunately, when it comes to a lot of business expertise, you often find that those that can do, those that can't teach, and those that can't teach, teach PE. But aside from that, my point is that I wanted to learn from the people who are actually in it and doing it rather than people that weren't doing it, but were just kind of selling knowledge, okay? No disrespect to any coaches or consultants out there. There are some amazing ones. The ones, in my opinion, that are amazing are the ones that are doing it in parallel to actually doing what they're teaching, okay? So, you know, if you can't drink your own Kool-Aid, you know, what the heck are you doing, right? So I decided to go again and find the podcasters that were successfully monetizing. And you know what? I discovered if there's one thing people should take, and I hope there's more than one thing, but if there's one thing that people take from this conversation, should be this, okay? The most successful podcasters out there do not rely on advertising or sponsorship revenue. That's not how they monetize.
Really? That was what you found out? Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
And I'll tell you for why. And I was just as shocked as you are, right? And I'll tell you for why, okay? The amount of time and effort that goes into finding and attracting and developing relationships with sponsors or advertisers is, unless you are a Joe Rogan with a gazillion followers, okay? Or unless you are, you know, Jerry Seinfeld or Kevin Hart that does a podcast with a gazillion followers, okay, or a Bill Burr with a gazillion followers, okay, you're not going to have the numbers, and in turn, those numbers are not going to generate, and the amount of listeners or downloads that you have are going to generate a pittance, okay? I have approximately 25,000 listeners a month, okay, which is pretty good.
Pretty damn good, yeah.
Yeah, it puts me in the top 0.5%, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, which is good. It's a number I'm proud of. You know, aiming for that top 0.1, but that's a big mountain to climb. Okay, yeah. 25,000 listeners a month would get me probably about $250 a month off of Spotify. All right, okay. I think they give if my math is right. No, less. That's about right. It's about 1 cent per download. Okay, $25,000, $250. Okay,
yeah.
Not a lot of money. Not going to be able to retire off $250 a month. Okay, so you need to be getting in the hundreds of thousands or millions of downloads before you're actually generating serious revenue off of it. Okay, Joe Rogan's getting however many hundreds and hundreds of millions of downloads, and that's why he's he is earning, was it $1 million a year off of Spotify.
Yeah.
So for lesser mortals like you or I, unless you are an established brand, you're not going to get the kind of revenue you would expect by doing sponsorship or advertising. It just doesn't happen. Okay. Now, it may well be if you have a a local podcast that's appropriate for a local audience, you might be able to get a sponsorship deal from a, for example, if let's say, okay, Lisa, where are you right now? Where do you live?
Hazelmere, in Surrey.
Yep. Okay, fine. Yep. Let's just say you decided you wanted to do a podcast specifically about nightlife in Hazelmere. Okay. But super niche. You're not going to probably get a huge amount of listeners, but every now and then people go, oh, I'm spending a weekend in Hazelmere. Let's get, all right. You may be able to get, you know, sponsorship from, you know, this week's is sponsored by the Dog and Duck down on the high street. Yeah. Okay. And that's fine.
Nightlife players. Yes.
Right. But are you going to be able to get a huge amount of money for something like that? How are they going to justify spending a huge amount, right? So again, if you have something that's like quite local or quite specific, or maybe you have a sponsorship about a particular software package that is appropriate to your subject matter, maybe. But again, the numbers are going to be very, very low, okay? Mm-hmm. Amount of effort that goes into it, it doesn't really just, it's not really going to be justified by the amount of revenue you're going to generate from it. Okay. So how do people monetize? Okay. There are probably four or five ways to monetize outside of sponsorship or advertising. Okay. So the first way is through driving leads into an existing business. Now that could either be promoting your own business and your own brand through your podcast. Think of it as the top of a funnel, okay? And then your subject matter coincides very clearly and very carefully with your offer and with your expertise, so that when people listen to the podcast and you have in your show notes, if you want anything more, click here, and that takes them to your landing page. They can download the whatever. They go onto your email list and if you have 10, 15, 20,000 people listening every month, enough of a proportion of those, if let's say a quarter of those people every month join your email list, that's a pretty good return, all right?
Yeah.
So think of, the first thing is, think of the podcast as a top of funnel, okay? Second way, and this is very effective if you're high ticket, is, actually, I'm going to come back to this one because this is really cool. Okay, so I'll come back to this one. The second way, we'll come back to it. Third way is affiliate marketing, okay? Using your podcast for affiliate marketing. So for example, Lisa, you and I have chatted before that you're really into horses, okay? Yeah. So it could be that you could do a podcast all about horses, all about grooming, husbandry, all that kind of stuff, all right? And have affiliate links embedded in your show notes from
horse care manufacturers.
Horseware manufacturers, grooming kits, drugs, all that sort of all that sort of stuff.
Branding,
okay.
Yeah.
Right. So, and particularly when it's something like, you know, drugs, medicine, that kind of thing, the affiliate commissions could be really, really high. Okay. If you have a podcast about exercise, about health, any of that kind of stuff, okay. Having affiliate links from, health food, all that kind of stuff could be really, really high, okay? A lot of people do really, really, really well from affiliate marketing when they link affiliate marketing to podcasts, okay? So that's number two.
Yep.
Number three, premium content. Premium content, okay? If you could do a podcast, whether it's visual or whether it's just audio, and you give tons of value, okay, about a particular subject matter. So it could either be educational, it could be entertainment, okay? And then you say, right, if you want the really, really good stuff, go to my Patreon account, go to my website, become a member, and you'll get the really good stuff, okay? That's the third way, okay? Mm. That relies on a concept called product-led growth, okay? Anyone that's familiar with Zoom, I know you are because we're using it right now. Okay. Zoom is a great example of what people refer to as product-led growth. The idea being that you offer someone something for free. Okay. Zoom didn't make money by giving people their product for free. They made money by giving an awesome product that was for free, but then knowing that there's an even more awesome paid product that they could use behind it.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Amazing. That's what, if your subject matter, your expertise lends itself towards that, it's a great example of having a having premium content. Okay. That could be really effective. Give you an example. One of the most popular podcasts on the BBC in the UK is was Simon Mayo and Mark Kermode's movie review on the BBC. Okay. Huh. About a year ago, they switched out and they now do it privately themselves, and they monetize it by using exactly this model. Okay. They have the free podcast and they have the members only, and it's like $10 a month to become a member. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you have, say, if let's say you have 25,000, if I can get 25,000 people listening to my podcast, anyone can, right? Let's say you have 25,000 people listening to your podcast, okay? And 1% of them, 250 people, decide they're going to pay you $10 a month to listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
$2,500 a month, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's not.
All right?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right.
The numbers. It's all in the numbers if you get that.
Exactly.
Yeah, content is queen here.
Absolutely. And then finally, okay, ooh, the one that I said I'll come back to is this.
The special one. I'm getting excited. The special one. Drum roll.
If you have a high ticket offer, okay, you don't necessarily need, in fact, you probably don't want that many leads coming in. What you want is high quality leads, okay? A great way to develop high quality leads is formulate your podcast as a platform for your potential clients to promote themselves to their audience, okay? So your podcast isn't talking to your clients, it's talking to your clients' clients, okay?
Mm.
So think about who your client is, okay? My ideal client is, so for example, you, Lisa, your ideal client is a coach or a consultant doing whatever, right? So you say, right, okay, I'm going to create a podcast where my coaches or consultants can talk to their audience. Maybe their audience are, small business owners between the age of 18 and 35, for example, right? People just starting out in a business, fine. I'm going to give them the platform. Then your podcast becomes a great way for you to develop relationships with your clients, because you're not going up to them and going, hi, can I sell you my consulting services? Hi, can I sell you my coaching services? What you're saying to them is, do you want to come on a podcast and help me promote you to your audience? And then you develop that relationship.
Clever. Very clever.
All right. Those are the primary ways to monetize a podcast.
And you heard it here. Beautifully put. I've listened to a lot of people talk about podcasts, and you're actually doing a fantastic job, because you're making it very simple and very clear. And it isn't rocket science, but there is a strategy and you are outlining it. So, kind of fascinating. You said 99% of podcasts don't go beyond like 25 podcasts and they die. That's incredible. I didn't know that. That's like 85% of coaches fail, and 9 out of 10 businesses fail in their first year. So I guess it's kind of the same, but that sounds even worse, actually.
Yeah, the problem is that most podcasters don't understand the basics, and the basics are simple. Okay. And, but you know, it's like that old saying, you know, there's nothing more uncommon than common sense, okay? Mm-hmm. The thing is, though, the reason why most podcasts fail is because either, number one, they are unstructured and inconsistent. And I'm not talking about inconsistent as, I mean, some are literally inconsistent as in, oh, well, broadcast sometime it'll be on a Monday, then we'll miss a week or two, and then it'll be out on a Wednesday, and then we'll miss another 10 days and be out on a week on Friday. I mean, sometimes they are doing that. But also, there are some podcasts, and believe me, I've been listening to a lot through my podcast coaching. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and it's like, I genuinely don't know what I'm listening to. You know, I listen to one, okay, fine, I've got an idea of what it's going to be. I'll tune into the next week, and it's completely different. And I'll tune into the following week, and it's completely different. And I'm like, what the hell am I listening to? All right?
Interesting.
Or they are aiming at so broad an audience, they're missing everything, okay? Mm. What if you want to have a successful podcast, one of the most key things you need to do is to define really, really tightly exactly who your audience is. And if you haven't done that, then you're on a hiding to nothing. And let me tell you very, very simply why, okay? I'll give you a great example. About a month or so ago, I was talking to this podcaster called me and wanted my help. So I said, okay, well, let's start off with the basics. Who's your audience? She said, women.
I said, that's not a great definition.
I said, all women? She said, yeah, all women. My podcast is for all women. I said, okay. There are about 4 billion women on the planet, and your podcast is relevant to all of them? She said, yeah. I said, okay. I'm just going to give you 3 or 4 personas here, right? Persona number one, a soccer mom who's got 3 kids under the age of 11, whose primary thought is how am I going to get everything done in a single in a day. She works part time, but she's primarily a mum. You know, her work is secondary, and her main the thing that keeps her awake at night is how am I going to get my kids up and out to school in enough time, pick them up, get all the housework done, do a bit of work, and then right, fine. Yeah. Persona number two is a single mum on benefits. Persona number three, a woman without kids who lives in an apartment in Manhattan, and you know her husband works for a hedge fund and is earning you know $2 million a year. Yeah. All right, and 4 and 5 were similarly yeah. different, right?
Yeah.
I said, what's your topic going to be in episode one that's going to appeal to all of them, and what's going to appeal to all of them just as much in episode two? Are you going to talk about fertility issues? If you talk about fertility issues, the penthouse woman that has many kids isn't really going to care about that. Okay, if you're going to talk about couponing, she's not going to care about that either. But the single mom on benefits is going to be really interested in that. Okay, if you know, you need to pick things that week in, week out are going to appeal to all of your audience, all of your audience.
Yeah.
The problem otherwise is it's like you've got lots and lots of dartboards. And you're just throwing darts one at a time. And if you throw one dartboard, it means that, let's say you've got 10 dartboards out there. If you throw one, then the other 9 haven't been serviced. And if they haven't been serviced, they ain't coming back. So you then throw out another one, but those people have already left. So the person on all the people in dartboard number one are also going to leave.
Yeah.
Okay? What you need to do is say, I'm ignoring dartboards 8, 9, and 10. I'm ignoring dartboards 1, 2, and 3. I'm ignoring dartboards 4, 5, and 6. I'm focusing exclusively on dartboard number 7. And every dart, number 7.
So good. Number 7. Great analogy, dartboards. I love it. Yes, I know Dean Graziosi calls about it your dot. He talks about shrinking it down till you've got this like little dot, which is like 8 people that need, you know, it's like, and that's who you focus on. Because if you focus on that micro niche, you'll actually kind of get some fraying on the edges anyway, but then you'll be able to speak very specifically. And yeah, I mean, this, what you're saying applies to all online business. So, you know,
absolutely.
It's a classic strategy and brilliant. And people don't think, because they think, oh, it's a podcast, that they kind of go off into almost an art form, as opposed to realizing it is a marketing business. You know, whether you're talking about frogs and newts and that's your passion and you're not monetizing it, you're not going to get, you know, you've got it. Frogs and newts would be a great niche, actually. Who loves frogs and newts? But that would be great, because only the people that would be extreme. So it's so true. It's so true. I love what you're saying. So that brings me to where do you think podcasts are going? A few years ago, I heard like, oh, podcasts are the future. Now we've had a lot of people enter, a lot of people fail. Do you think we're still in the growth space with podcasts? What are your feelings?
I think that podcasting is, I think it's the gold rush. I really do. I still think that podcasting is the long form content of choice for people. Okay. And I think the people that do well in it and pitch their tent in a fertile area and define a territory as their own are the ones that are going to do really, really well. Okay. I think like the gold rush, lots of people are going to fail. Lots of people have failed. And I think that as we move forward over the next few years, some people are going to be very, very successful. Most people are not going to be successful. And the simple reason for that is going to be that they haven't done the basics properly. They haven't defined their audience. They haven't defined how they're going to serve their audience, haven't defined how they're going to retain their audience, haven't defined how they're going to attract their audience and haven't defined how they're going to monetize their audience. They can do those five things, and they're all basic things. And if they re-listen and re-listen and re-listen to this, they'll get most of the answers of how to do it. Then they'll be successful.
And I think one of the key things you said earlier on, I mean, you said the gold rush, and I think it's Napoleon Hill talks about, you know, the guy who bought the gold mine and he kept digging for gold, didn't find it. He was like 2 inches away from the gold and he quit. And so it's a little bit the same with podcasts, because you've got to refine, and you've got to keep going. And most people probably like get 25, don't see any results, don't see traction, haven't got an audience, and they quit. But maybe you have to go to 100, and maybe you've I own the domain onefailureaway.com, because, you know, sometimes you are one failure away from success, and you just got to keep failing. You fail away to success. As long as you keep going, you'll get it right in the end.
Absolutely. It's so true. I didn't have 25,000 listeners on my first episode.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't have 25,000.
I would be very impressed if you did.
Yeah, indeed. Seriously, you know, it found its voice, it found its audience, and it found its legs. And it took probably 30 odd episodes for it to do that.
Yeah.
You know, we only started seeing the benefit of our strategy, our monetization strategy, I would say a year in. So probably around episode 50. But we stuck at it. You know, we believed in what we were doing and we stuck at it.
So which of the monetization strategies do you use? You use the high ticket one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your strategy. Okay, got it.
And it works really well.
So now you are very flamboyant, chatty, warm personality. What if you're not? Is podcasting not for you? I mean, are there people who really excel at podcasting, or is it that you know, no matter who you are, introverted, extrovert, whatever, that there is a tribe for you? What are your feelings on that?
That's a great question, and I will challenge your premise. I'm not a particularly flamboyant, outgoing, chatty person. This is a mask I put on when I'm in this kind of environment. People that know me, friends and family, they can't believe this is me when I'm I decided to become this person. I decided to become this character as a podcast guest and a podcast host. The beauty of being a podcast host is the guest does all the heavy lifting. All you've got to do is ask the questions. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I actually talk very, very little on my podcast. But the truth is you get better at it. If you listen to the first few episodes of The Conference Room versus the ones that, you know, the one that dropped today, they're very different, because I was a fledgling. It's like, you know, the first time you ride a bike, you know, I was going to use Lance Armstrong as an example, but let's just forget the whole drugs thing, right?
Yeah, leave that apart, yeah.
Let's forget the whole drugs thing. The first time Lance Armstrong got on a bike, he probably fell off, okay? The first time Cristiano Ronaldo kicked a football, it probably didn't go the way he wanted it to, okay? But the more you do it, and the more you practice at it, and the more accomplished you get at it, the more confident you'll be in your own ability, and you'll become, you know, subconsciously competent. You'll be competent without even realizing you're doing it, okay? Yeah. It just takes time and practice, okay? I've got to tell you, right, the first 10 episodes of anyone's podcast are gonna suck. But it doesn't matter, because no one's listening to it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. So you can just kind of screw up and find your way. And you find a way to breathe into it you have to be yourself, I think. And you have to find your voice. Would you agree? It's like, you know, and it takes time, because you get braver. You get more relaxed into like, this is who I am. I can ask these questions. I can do this. And you have to be authentic. And we know we have this thing about authenticity now, but it's nowhere truer than when you go live or do a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, be yourself. So
100%.
So now what about hosting? I mean, if you go and Google, I want to start a podcast, it'll tell you, you know, that everyone's vying for your money. They're like, oh, £10 here, free here, £20 there, da 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 da. Does it matter?
The short answer is no. All right. Mm-hmm. There are dozens of podcast platforms out there. Okay. Mm-hmm. They all do, broadly speaking, the same thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Some have more whistles and bells than others. Some have more automation than others. But if you want to start out doing it super cheap, free, super low risk, there's definitely tools out there to do it. Yeah. Anchor is one that's free. There are plenty of others where that are free as well. Some are paid. But at the end of the day, it matters far less about the tools that you're using than about the techniques that you're using. The techniques are far more important than the tools.
So, God, you've been so helpful. Thank you so much for being so effusive on your expertise in podcasting. So tell us, because now I'm curious, so what is it that you do then? What is the high ticket offer? You actually help people create podcasts, don't you?
Yeah, that's right. So basically we have, my principal high ticket offer is my headhunting business. And that's really what the conference room drives people to. Okay. Mm-hmm. However, we recently started Viva Podcasts, and Viva Podcasts is serving its clients in several different ways. Okay. You can, should you choose to do so, consume our free content, and it won't cost you a single penny. And the way to do that is to join our free Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/scale-share-monetize, which is what a good podcaster will do with their audience. They'll scale their audience, they'll share the message, and they'll monetize it. You can also join our membership, which is, I think it's like $39 a month to get some really, really good stuff. Okay. And we're aiming to get 1,000 members by the end of this year. Okay. Or alternatively, if you want to, you can work with us on a one-to-one basis, and we can coach you through building and developing a really good podcast. And particularly if you have a high ticket offer and you want to find a way to generate really, really good quality leads, podcasting is a very good way to do it. And we can coach you step by step on exactly how to do that. Okay.
Amazing.
We can coach podcasters on how to scale their audiences, but the real sweet spot, and we're happy to do that, but the real sweet spot, and frankly, my own real passion for this, is taking people that have got a great business and are sharing real value, but not to enough people, and then helping them harness the power of podcasting to really scale the business.
Because that's really easy. I mean, it's the same in my business. I help people. My specialty, my team does everything, but my specialty is Facebook marketing. And the most exciting clients are the ones who are doing so much, but it's not getting anywhere. And all I have to do is just tweak it a little bit, because they've already got the business. Everything's there, and they just need the visibility, and they just need to bring the audience in. So it's the same that Facebook has an audience, just like a podcast has an audience. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And which is probably the same LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok too.
Absolutely. And the two things come really well. It really doesn't have to be, and really shouldn't be, an either or strategy. If someone's doing really well on Facebook, great. And this could really augment that, because it gives an authenticity and an authority that I think dovetails beautifully into the kind of snapshot that Facebook can give. Okay. Facebook, YouTube Reels, YouTube Shorts, TikTok, Facebook's Reels as well. All of these things in short form has a fantastic place, and another weapon, a different weapon in the arsenal that can augment brilliantly into that is podcasting. So I would urge anyone who is, you know, even if they're doing really, really well through Facebook or TikTok, through that startup, that strata of marketing, to also consider adding this to their portfolio, because the dividends it will reap could be enormous.
And I will add another one from my own experience is, if you podcasting is an opportunity to talk to people and meet people you would never otherwise meet, because people really like to be interviewed. And I have discovered and built relationships, friendships that have lasted with people I never imagined would give me the time of day, because I had to work really hard to get them on my podcast. But when I did, I got insights and they're friends. It's extraordinary. It's actually a great networking. You're one failure away. You're also one person away from hitting the jackpot and finding your thing in life. You know, it could be one connection, someone introduce it to someone, whether it's you find a relationship or you find money or you find a business. So podcasting is the sort of specialist again in your area. way of meeting people. So
it's so true.
I highly recommend it.
And you know what else is that, just sort of building off of that to your point, is that if you are passionate about a particular subject and that's what you choose to podcast in, you'll get a combination of incredible people that with whom you can share the passion. You can get people that have an insight or an exposure to it. Like for example, I mean, I don't, but if I, let's say I decided to do a podcast about Scotch whiskey because it's something I'm passionate about,
yeah,
I could talk, imagine me talking to distillery owners, master distillers, you know, the head of import export at Diageo. These are awesome people. But one stage further, if you're passionate about a particular subject from an educational perspective, think about how much you can learn from the best in the business when they come onto your podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I record an episode of The Conference Room, I come away and I go, oh my God, that was a masterclass in sales, marketing. I mean, I'm literally getting tutored from the best out there. Yeah. You know, it's incredible. So if nothing else, just the opportunity to be exposed to these incredible people that will come onto your podcast and build a relationship. So, as you were saying, it's worth its weight in gold. It really is.
Yeah. So many benefits. Oh, thank you so much for giving us time. I personally have learned loads and loads and loads. I know the listeners will. Anyone who wants to reach out and work with you, your information or the contact for Simon will be in the show notes. Pop down below, somewhere underneath it. You'll find the links. You can go and talk to him and join his Facebook group and join his membership, or just hire the damn man and he'll get it done faster that way. So it has been a great, great pleasure, Simon. Thank you so much. And we will see you around on your podcast. I have to go and listen now. I've got to go and forget it by now. I'm going off to listen.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Team Academy podcast. Tune in for our next podcast soon, where you too can find out how you can make your business dreams come true.